Welcome to the ghost gig. Are you sitting comfortably? Then let's begin.
Okay.
It's doing.
Yay!
Noise!
Say hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
It's the Halloween special.
Yay!
Because it's Halloween and it makes sense.
But it won't be by the time it goes out.
Oh, no, it will be.
If we're on time.
No, yeah,
you're right.
Hopefully this will come out on Halloween. Well, just before Halloween.
Actually, on Halloween makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be a good reason for delaying.
Aha. It would.
Okay.
There we go. Sorry, that covers us properly.
Going back to a previous conversation.
That's what you meant.
Yes.
Obviously, it was meant to be.
Yes.
So how are we all? Obviously, my mum's here with us again because she came to see the film with us that we're going to talk about. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good, good.
As well as can be expected.
Okay. And are you all right?
I am fine. Not too traumatised from the film.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, some weeks ago, though.
I did struggle with trying to remember some aspects of it.
You've had a bit of sleep since, I take it.
Little bits, spread across the week.
Oh, he stopped screaming in the night.
He stopped
waking up screaming.
Stopped screaming himself to sleep.
Yeah. Now I just scream and snore.
It's quite unnerving. Do you want to talk about the ghost walk first? We just do a little
Let's do the ghost walk.
Okay.
Well, I haven't heard much about the ghost walk either, so I quite like that.
We'd normally go into the film first, but Mum and I went on a ghost tour at Item Moat a few days ago, and we thought we'd give you fill you in quickly about that. The building itself is amazing, obviously. Item Moat is a beautiful old building and it's got its own atmosphere.
Very atmospheric.
And it was very creepy, the whole thing. And once we were ushered inside, I thought, oh, this looks, you know, creepy.
It started well. There was one of the... I won't call him a scare actor because there was no scaring going on.
Definitely
and
no
it
scare.
Wasn't a sort of jumping out type of thing. He came in... I quite liked him. Unfortunately, he kept dropping his voice, and it may just be my aging ears, but he would be very loud and then he'd be very quiet.
No, that wasn't just you.
Yeah. But I did like the way he said, enter freely and of your own will, which is a direct quote from Dracula.
You made an impressive noise.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
From Dracula.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, this is going to be literary.
And then it wasn't.
And he did the cardinal thing of he ushered us into a small room and told a very, very unnecessarily long and detailed story, which was actually not that scary, about some creature.
Mm.
And my mind was drifting off. And then he suddenly went, and then I woke up.
Oh, yes.
You're thinking, oh, please.
Yeah. Mum went, seriously?
I
was like,
shh. I hope you heard.
I was like,
Mum. And I did have to be very good and quiet.
You
didn't
did
I?
Have to be very... Basically, yeah. So basically, we went into each room and every couple of rooms there was a different actor telling a different ghost story. Mm. That's basically...
Oh, okay.
I was expecting... A few jump because they said there are no scares on the stairs and there's the horrors you'll find. So I was kind of thinking, is it going to be a bit jumpy? Is there going to be surprises? But it wasn't. It was literally a person telling a story.
The jump scares were when they suddenly came in through a different door, weren't they?
Yeah, no, well, I did jump once.
You did actually, and knocked me over. And
that was on purpose.
And the bit that I could have gone harumph about, but I was very good and quiet, as I've said, was the last actor who said, well, this is the time of Queen Elizabeth, and there'd been a bit of trouble. It was the Reformation, and 1685, and I thought, what? Have you not even bothered to get your dates right?
Of course, for someone like me, like I wouldn't have known that, but for someone like you, you would know that. And there will be people who will know that. And it's not good practice to not get
a lot
dates
of
right.
People know when the Reformation was.
I didn't, but
really do, and they know it was before Elizabeth, and obviously 1685 was James II.
Yes, as I
but
Googled
I did not
home.
Say a word.
No,
I
you
just
didn't.
Stood there with my lips tightening angrily.
Yes.
Just so seething around the place.
Seething. Standing there seething.
Turning into a seethe. it was... Oh, and the acting
it could have been good.
They weren't in their characters.
No.
I mean, I'm not calling myself a professional actor, but I've done... we've both done a fair bit of acting, and it wasn't, they weren't in it. They were like, this is my Halloween job and this is my money for Christmas or whatever. They kept, a lot of them kept forgetting their words, and you can tell, even though they weren't obviously like looking up to the sky and going, you can't remember your lines. And they just weren't like, they weren't in it.
And yet, they introduced themselves at the end. I can't remember what the company
was.
Well,
he forgot the name of his company, didn't he, as well?
But they are obviously employed to do that job. They weren't people who were working there or volunteers.
No, they were actors.
They were being paid.
They were from a theatre company.
Yeah.
So it was a shame, really, because I thought the atmosphere was good. And I enjoyed a lot of the... Some of the stories were a bit wandery, but generally I enjoyed the stories.
They could have been a lot shorter.
They just... Yeah, the story... I thought generally the stories were good, and obviously the place was amazing. Mm. It just needed better actors.
I didn't fill in a slip at the end, a comment slip, because I thought...
Should be sitting there for hours.
I would be writing an essay.
Point 17!
Yes. Not a sachet for the venom, really, is there?
No.
In those forms.
No, the thing is, I've mellowed over the past few years, and I feel that it would be wrong. I feel it would be wrong just to sort of sit there and go, well, what I think is this.
Well, that's what they wanted you to do, to be fair.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it might have made them cry.
I did.
It's okay, they can listen to this. And
they don't care, though. They get paid. Like, they don't.
Well, I would care.
Well, I don't think they did.
You know, if at the end of one of our shows, you know, the audience said, well, yeah, that was a bit limp, I'd be feeling a bit fed up with it.
I don't know. Anyway, so that was just a quick overview. I mean, yeah. But it was a bit limp.
But you can't go anyway because it's
that was the last
finished
one.
Now.
Yeah, but
we could do it better. We could actually.
Cool. Well, I did, so that was just a brief brief chat about that. We can move on now, I think, to our film review.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
I remember the film. I didn't go to Whiteham Moat.
No, you didn't go to Whiteham Moat, that's fine. Were you sitting there going, I don't remember that? And I was like, you weren't there.
I don't think I've ever actually been to Whiteham Moat.
Oh, you should.
Maybe I was.
Oh, Whiteham Moat itself is very
impressive.
Whiteham Moat itself is incredibly impressive.
Mm.
So, the film we went to see is a brand new film, probably still in cinemas.
It's all over the buses and things.
It is. We went to see Smile.
Smile!
After witnessing a bizarre and traumatic incident involving a patient, Dr. Rose Cotter starts experiencing frightening occurrences she can't explain. As an overwhelming terror begins to take over her life, Rose must confront her troubling past in order to survive and escape her horrifying new reality.
Can I just say
no
that Rose is played by Kevin Bacon's daughter?
You can, yes.
Right, okay.
Because
his name... is Saucy Bacon. So she's named after a full English breakfast.
Oh,
I
brilliant.
Did not know that. Saucy Bacon. Okay.
It might be saucy, but I mean...
But saucy. Come
on. It is saucy.
Sausages.
Anyway.
Well, she did well in it.
Yeah. Yes, all right, cool. That's all we need to know. Play the songs. I thought it started well. So this psychologist... Doctor,
psychiatrist or
something.
She's the best one in the hospital. I read a review the other day.
She works in a hospital for people who are mentally unwell, and she sort of witnesses this horrific thing of a patient basically committing suicide in front of her, and the patient's got this horrible smile on her face before
that's
she does it.
That's actually the leftovers from a short the director made called, was it, had it written down, Laura Hasn't Slept, that same actress who's that first patient starred in that short.
Oh, cool.
Read the same review as me.
Okay.
I made a review. I remember hearing about this on something. Oh, this is sort of a sequel, but
I don't know about you guys, but I actually thought it started off pretty strong, and I was quite into it. I enjoyed it to start with.
It's actually not a sequel.
No,
it's a sort of expansion.
Yes, true, true.
So you know, as it goes on, she continues to see this people with this particular smile on their faces, and it's, you know, it's good. I mean, it's a good. I think it's a good idea. The thing of like a smile being a positive thing and a thing associated with happiness and laughter is used in such a sinister way. I quite like that personally.
Yeah. And it's a classic thing of basically whatever it is that's doing the horrible thing moves from person to person.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought Saucy Bacon had quite distracting dental work.
Okay, all right. That's your first point.
Distracting dental work.
That's
well,
first point.
I kept looking at her teeth and thinking, "Gosh, they're unusual." But I thought she was good. I did think she was good. I think my main problem with it, and I'm having the same problem with the Midnight Club, by the way.
Oh, we've not seen that.
Is that there was a lot of dream sequences and a lot of hallucinatory sequences, which felt to me like padding.
Yeah, and
they didn't really inform the story. And in the Midnight Club, of course, they're all telling stories.
Right.
And I'm thinking, I don't care about your stories. Let me just get on with the main plot.
Mm.
And I felt that a bit, and I felt a bit cheated.
Yeah.
When we, oh no, it's a dream. It's a bit like, and then I woke up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I quite enjoyed it, but I can't really remember that much about it.
Well,
so it can't have made that much of an impression.
Enough of it, I felt at the time. Anyway, it felt like it was reasonably well paced. Like I said, it does definitely have sections which are padding.
Yeah.
So time wise, it's all. I guess that's why it's well paced, because I did feel like it does mount quite well.
Mm.
The sort of escalation is quite satisfying. You know exactly what's going to happen at most moments, but that's fine because it delivers it quite well.
Yeah.
Like, as a nuts and bolts delivery, it was well executed.
There was a cat at the beginning. We knew that was going to end.
Absolutely.
Why?
Yeah.
Why is it a cat? I mean, any animal's bad, but cat's like the worst. Why?
Mm.
Why hurt the cat? This is almost like, why do we have to...
There was lots of sort of... The general thing of lots of other films like Ringu. Things
so
like that.
Like Pingu.
No, that's too terrifying. Too terrifying.
Indeed, The Watcher had a ferret in the first episode, and you knew that was going to get it as
well.
Yeah,
loved The Watcher. Anyway, I thought it started off strong, but then it just fell down the kind of usual horror film, you know, cliche thing. I mean, I don't want to give too much away because it's a new film, so a lot of people won't have seen it, but there was sort of a moment in the film when she thought she'd actually figured out how to destroy this thing. From someone who'd actually survived it in the past, and she went to kind of commit this horrific act to destroy the creature, and then she couldn't do it. I quite enjoyed that kind of, you know, she was like, I'm going to do it, and then she was found, you know, she just couldn't do it, so she was still lumbered with this horrible curse thing,
The policeman ex-boyfriend.
Too
convenient.
No,
cardboard cutout.
I'd completely forgotten about that. That had no impact on me.
He existed purely to have the plot explained to him.
Yes.
That's what he was there for. Fine.
Yeah.
As a placeholder, it was too...
Exchange of information.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I did like about the monster, though, that it didn't have a weakness, essentially. You found out at the end that you couldn't get rid of it. Like trauma, you know?
Every film's about trauma at the moment.
That's what the film's about.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, the ending, though, so disappointing by
but
this.
It's
not
a monster with a weakness. She just has to try and...
I don't even know. It wasn't even as good as, like, a Doctor Who monster, you know? And this is, like...
I don't remember it being awful.
I thought it looked crap.
I think some of the people get very hung up on the... visuals of the monster, like it's more important about what
it's
is
always difficult for a monster to be physically portrayed and not be disappointing, actually.
Yeah,
because we've all seen it, haven't we? We've all seen monsters, and that is the problem, as I've said many times before. It's almost impossible to tell a ghost story which is going to surprise anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or in this case, a sort of cursed story.
I mean, in some ways, maybe it's better like The Others, where you only see glimpses,
psychological.
So I think I just prefer that kind of thing. Mm. But yeah, I was just really... Because it just descended all into chaos at the end, didn't it? And it was like, oh my God!
It did.
And this.
Where else could they really have gone with it? I don't know if they really were worried too much about it.
I think if... Because I thought they had a good idea, like, and then they just kind of went, do it like every other horror film.
I think we're jaded, though. I do think we watch too many of these kinds of things and hear too many of those sorts of stories that nothing surprises us. And as I said to you the other day at the Ghost Walk, if anybody can come up with a paranormal story which actually makes me scared, I will give them £10.
There you are, everyone. There's your challenge.
Yeah.
£10 in it for you.
£10 for a genuinely scary ghost story.
Mm.
But I don't know.
All of our thousands and thousands of listeners will be.
Yeah.
They'll be clamouring.
Which is you and like two people. No, people do listen. I know people do listen. I know what you mean. I mean, I think it's a bit like hot sauce. You know, you start getting immune to it, and you eat.
Yes.
So your taste buds get numbed by it, so you eat more and more and more.
Or any drug.
Yeah. My name is Alice, and I am addicted to hot sauce. And ghost stories.
Yeah. Sometimes at the same time.
I don't get the buzz, man.
That's the trouble. Because where do you go? After a certain point of extremity, there is nowhere to go.
But I actually do more than you, I think. Maybe because you're older and, you know, I'm not as cynical yet. Yeah. But going around the ghost walk, even though I totally agree with everything you're saying, I still got a real buzz of the atmosphere of the place.
Yeah. I've spent too many years trudging around.
Oh yeah, you do work in a stately home, so you know.
It was engineered for date night. I think it's what I remember. It's engineered for that sort of stereotypical American thing where you go oh, and you put your arm around the other person, and it's for that.
Well, that didn't happen to me.
No, right. I'm very disappointed. But
put your arm around each other.
It was just for plenty of opportunities like that. That's what it was for. Yeah. Sitting in a darkened room and screaming.
But it was really what I heard about it before. I was expecting it to be a cut above.
Yeah.
I like the way it was marketed. It felt like there's a lot more brains behind it than some of the other things that we could easily have seen.
Yeah.
I like that, you know, for a couple of weeks beforehand in sporting events, there was people just smiling at the cameras. Mm. So when it was still the newspaper, someone swinging a baseball bat over, there's someone creepily just grinning straight down the barrel of the camera.
The marketing was very good.
It was clever. Yeah. And really low-tech.
I think it started off very good.
Yeah. I think 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
I'd give it 7. Yeah, because, which is not bad.
Don't bother. Like, I'd say watch it, but like it does, I think, fall down the trap of all the other ghosty films.
I don't think it quite fell down a trap for me. I think it pointed out the trap was there, then just sidestepped around it, because I think that it was. It was more capably executed and more enjoyable than many others of that type.
I thought the ending
You're was fresh-faced and unspoiled.
Yeah, I thought the ending
Actually, enough of the others of that type of films which are clunkier and just the lack of elegance shows. And this was put together better.
It was
better.
A decent enough film. I just was like, oh, it's this again. Shall we play our songs?
We probably should, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Which one should we do first?
Yours.
Okay.
Kubrick knew a smile is scary. We kind of know the story already. With steady, unflinching close-ups, is this a stylish use of darkness or just a cover-up? Say cheese and smash another wine glass. Give a cat corpse as a prezi. How does that make you feel? I'm sorry I smashed up her glassware. I was scared by something you don't think is there. I could go and pester my ex. It seems to be explained to us why he exists. Reinforce the mental health stigmas, but what for? I've never jumped at a tin of cat food before. Reinforce the mental health stigmas, but what for? I've never jumped at a tin of cat food before. Occasionally invented jumps, but too many. Although the jump scares are actually affecting, what made things scary was almost undercut. At least it brought it back at the end somewhat. Reinforce the mental health stigmas, but what for? I've never jumped at a tin of cat food before. Reinforce the mental health stigmas, but what for? I've never jumped at a tin of cat food before. So say cheese, you find that grinning in your face. So say cheese, before it takes you to the grave. So say cheese, and set fire to a shack. So say cheese, here's a coffee table you can smash. Or you could skip the cinema, go to streaming. Then there's no projectionist who's not fucking focusing. Reinforce the mental health stigmas, but what for? I've never jumped at a tin of cat food before. Reinforce the mental health stigmas, but what for?
I've never jumped at a tin of cat food before. Reinforce the mental health stigmas, but what for? I've never jumped at a tin of cat food before. Reinforce the mental health stigmas, but what for? I've never jumped at a tin of cat food before.
Yes, that's one thing I forgot to mention. The jump scares, there are so many and they're so unnecessary.
Gratuitous.
Yeah, a little bit. Most of they do avoid comedy, but yeah, they're kind of gratuitous.
And what were you saying? Because this is something you would notice, but not necessarily other people, about the focus on it or the...
We just happened to see it at the local cinema and it wasn't in focus.
So right. That wasn't the film's fault?
No, it wasn't the film's fault, but this was supposed to have gone to streaming originally and it got pushed to cinemas for distribution. Okay, yeah. Clever idea, but... It does mean you're at the whim of then a projectionist or them setting up their stuff properly. And unfortunately, when we saw it, it was out of focus, which didn't help.
So maybe it's actually better to see it on your TV rather than...
Give it 6 months. Yeah.
Cool.
It was probably originally intended to be seen.
But if it was at a different cinema, then presumably...
Yeah. Absolutely. Up. Probably the following screening was fine. Mm. But,
oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. All right. Should we play mine?
Yeah, we should.
Smile. Keep those jump scares coming. We're relying on those. We've got quite a good idea, but we're not sure where to go. Pair a smile with death. Fight that old mental shit. Next thing you know, you're giving a cat corpse as a gift. So if you're feeling psycho, if you're feeling queer, tell me why you're not grinning from ear to ear. Your life may be in tatters, people think you're crackers. Nothing is worthwhile, so just smile. Smile, smile, smile. Soundtrack, right in the movie's core. Maybe we'll actually cause a scare, throw in enough blood and gore. So if you're feeling psycho, if you're feeling queer, tell me why you're not grinning from ear to ear. Your life may be in tatters, people think you're crackers. Nothing is worthwhile, so just smile.
Pictured a cartoon. You don't really know what happened. Must have been a full moon. If you're feeling psycho, if you're feeling queer, tell me why you're not sprinting from ear to ear. Your life may be in tatters. People think you're crackers. Nothing is worthwhile, so just smile.
Yeah, I forgot the soundtrack was very good. I thought that was a positive of the film.
Yeah, you made some good points there. Yes. It's true.
And yes, I am now really realising I was ripping off Lily Allen massively, but hey, that's what we do.
So you'll probably never hear it.
I doubt it.
Oh yeah, avid listener, Lily Allen, obviously.
Cool. Cool. Well, I hope you enjoyed the songs, Mum.
I enjoyed the songs. I liked Vince's power clapping especially.
It took a while to get that right.
Yeah.
I kept hitting my elbow.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's very good that we don't video these.
Just Vince going... Yeah.
Yeah. It was not a good look.
Okay. Oh, I didn't... Don't be so dramatic. Goodness me. Right. Would you two like to hear a story?
Yes, please.
I think so.
Are you going to earn £10 by
Well, I don't. Probably not, no, because you know me too well, obviously. Okay. And you just sit there going...
But you know what she wanted a story. Ow. So you could get £10 out of this.
Well, you'll probably be pleased to hear that we have a folklore tale today.
I am pleased to hear that. Because
this film reminded me of a folklore tale I had heard on previous podcasts. Again, to do with smiling, but we'll get to that. And this is a folktale from Japan. So the story I'm going to tell is a kind of hybrid of a load of stories that I read and watched on YouTube. Okay, and there's a tale within a tale and stuff like that.
It's so nice to know that you've researched it in depth.
I have properly. Well, I have. Yeah, you shot. This is our family relationship. Shut up and listen. Right.
That sounds like a good name for a band.
Shut up and listen. You're hilarious. Maybe we should change it to that. Shut up and listen. So, anyway, we are off to Japan for this. And I'm not going to give an introduction because I'm just going to let you listen. And you may have heard of this figure of folklore. You may not have done. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's begin. Akio and Haru, two brothers, lived happily with their parents in Hiroshima City. They had good, fulfilled lives and lived in a quiet, safe neighbourhood. One summer evening, with the sun still casting a warm glow outside, the boys went to their parents and asked if they could go the short distance to the park to play. "I don't think so," said their mother. "It's getting late." The boys looked longingly outside. "Oh, please," begged Akio. "It'll be light for another hour. As soon as it gets dark, we'll come straight back." "We promise," added Haru, giving his parents his best puppy dog eyes. The grown-ups sighed and looked at each other. "It would be nice to get an hour's peace or so." "Okay then," said their father. "But as soon as it gets dark, you need to come back. And Akio, take care of your little brother." "I promise," yelled Akio as they left the room. Wasting no time, the boys grabbed their ball and rushed to the front door. When they reached the park, they began a very vigorous game of football. So engrossed were they, that they did not notice the masked woman watching them from the shadows of the trees. She fixed her gaze on Haru, the younger of the boys. Her eyes began to glow. Back on the grass, Haru swerved around his brother, dribbling the ball. He stopped, drew his foot back, and kicked with all his might, sending the ball soaring through the air. "Hey!" Akio scolded him. "Don't kick the ball so hard, we'll lose it." All of a sudden, Akio felt a cold prickling on the back of his neck, as if someone was standing behind him. He spun around on the spot. There was no one there. "What's wrong?" asked Haru. "Nothing." Akio turned back to his brother. "Go and find the ball. I'm not fetching it." Haru ran and fumbled around in the bushes, found their ball and brought it back, a look of triumph on his face. As the two boys continued to play, the masked woman in the trees slowly began to move closer and closer towards them, specifically towards Haru. She did not take her yellow glowing eyes off the little boy, and when she moved, her feet did not touch the grass. She floated silently towards the two children. Again, Haru kicked the ball from his spot on the grass. This time, it sailed right over the bushes and out of the park. "I told you," said Akio. "You've lost our ball." Haru hung his head. "I'm sorry," he mumbled. The wind suddenly turned cold and both boys shivered. Again, Akio felt a strange cold sensation on the back of his neck. But once again, he looked behind him and saw nothing. When he turned back, Haru was making his way over to the gate. "Where are you going?" asked Akio. "To get the ball." Akio sighed. "I'll get it. I said I'd look after you. You stay there and don't move." Haru nodded and smiled, relieved that his brother didn't seem too cross with him. Akio soon disappeared behind the gate, and Haru, true to his word, stood stock still. Suddenly, like Akio, he felt a cold prickling on the back of his neck. When Haru turned around, he came face to face with a woman. Her mouth and cheeks were hidden by a mask, but the part of her face he could see was truly beautiful. Perfect dark eyes and shining long hair. She wore magnificent blue robes. Her eyes did not leave his face. Who are you? Stammered Haru. Behind her mask, the woman giggled.
Why would you need to know that?
She replied. Her voice was light and full of laughter. The sound somehow echoed around the park.
The only thing I want to know is, am I beautiful?
Confused, Haru stared back at her. After a few seconds of silence, the woman began to levitate. Floating above him, she began to laugh wildly, raising her arms above her head. Her eyes shone with an eerie glowing light.
I'll ask you again!
Her voice was louder this time and made the ground beneath Haru's feet vibrate.
Am I beautiful?
Yes, said Haru in a tiny voice. As soon as the word left his lips, the woman screamed with delight. Then she slowly, slowly began to remove the mask from around her mouth. All the blood in Haru's veins ran cold as he saw what was underneath. Below the beautiful shining eyes was the most terrible smile he had ever seen. Her face was slit open from ear to ear as if someone had cut it with a sharp knife. She laughed, her bloody mouth stretching like a snake consuming a rabbit. The sickening wound looked so fresh, dripping blood onto the ground below her. Her yellow glowing eyes blinked and turned the same colour as the blood around her mouth. Haru was frozen to the spot. She floated backwards from him slightly, turned her feet inward so her toes met each other. His fear seemed to fuel her laughter. Laughing at his terrified expression, she spoke.
Am I still beautiful?
Haru's mouth was bone dry. He could feel himself sweating, although he felt chilled to the core.
Tell me!
Teased the creature.
Am I still beautiful?
Haru forced himself to think. Surely she'd expect him to say no? Yes, he whispered. With a flash of silver, the woman produced a huge pair of shining scissors. With a peal of laughter, she lunged forward and cut him with the scissors, making his mouth just like hers. Bleeding, Haru clutched to get his bearings. He became dizzy and very quickly fell to the ground. With her laughter still ringing around the air, the woman disappeared. Then Akio returned, carrying their ball. Seeing his brother on the floor, he rushed to his side, and he saw his face and recoiled in horror. Akio leapt to his feet and rushed towards their home. There, he cried to his parents. They all hurried back to the park where Haru still lay in a pool of blood. A crowd of people began to gather around the boy, some trying to help, others panicking. "We need to get him to hospital now," yelled the boy's father. Then, through the crowd, an old lady slowly approached the family. She looked down at Haru, a sad, frightened look in her eyes. "This is Honor's work," she proclaimed gravely. "She has returned." "Honor?" someone questioned. "Kuchisaki Honor, the masked woman," said the old lady. A tear slowly fell from her eye and travelled down her face. "I'm sorry. Nothing can be done now. Take your son home and grieve." "No," said the boy's mother fiercely. She was on the ground, cradling her son. "I do not accept this. Who is this woman you speak of?" Before the old woman could answer, they were interrupted by the police. It was indeed, tragically, too late. They took Haru away, leaving the family devastated. A few days later, the body was returned to them, with very little explanation about the investigation into his death. The destroyed family could think of nothing else but to bury their little boy. After the funeral, Haru's parents paid a visit to the police station. They waited until an officer came out to meet them. "What can I do for you?" he asked. They stared at him in disbelief. "Our son," said the mother, trying to keep her voice from shaking, "was killed by a masked woman. Why aren't you looking for her?" "Well," the officer looked embarrassed and wasn't able to catch their eye. "You see, this isn't the first time this has happened. In fact, there are over 125 cases of children being attacked all over the country, all linked to the same woman, Kuchisaki Ono." His head bent, he went on to tell them other investigations had been around this woman. In Nagasaki, a child was captured and killed and left with the same terrible trademark smile. "Kuchisaki Ono is not a person," said the officer quietly. "She is a ghost. So you see, we cannot capture her." "But..." The boy's father shook his head. "Why would anyone believe that?" The officer blinked. "You've never heard of Kuchisaki Ono, have you? Please, let me tell you about her." Shaking, Haru and Akio's parents sat down. "Many years ago, there lived a woman named Kuchisaki Ono," began the officer. "She was very beautiful and was very aware of the fact. She boasted about her beauty often and grew more and more vain every day. She was married to a handsome samurai. Her husband adored her. 'I am truly blessed to have you as my wife,' he would often say. 'Well, yes,' she'd reply. 'I am the most beautiful woman in the world. You should be proud of my beauty.'" The officer continued, telling them the story he knew so well from his own grandmother. After a few years of the marriage, the samurai was called away to war. He asked his wife to promise to look after herself and write to him, letting him know that she was safe. She swore she would, and he left, them swearing their undying love for each other. The samurai was away for many, many years. At first, Ono kept her word and wrote him regular letters, but as time went on, the letters became less and less frequent. Eventually, they stopped coming altogether. Back home, Ono had broken all of the boundaries of marriage and honor. She took lovers, all who wanted her for themselves, but she refused them any kind of commitment, just enjoying the attention and adoration. Then, out on the battlefields, the samurai received a letter from a close friend who had told him everything that his wife was up to. The samurai shook with rage as he read this. "She cannot do this to me," he shouted. "She is mine, and only mine." Full of anger, the samurai travelled home. When he arrived, he was greeted by the sight of his wife and a stranger in a passionate embrace through the window. He burst through the door. "Who is this?" he spat. "I trusted you with my heart." With a quick blow of his sword, the samurai killed Honor's lover. Then he began to slowly advance towards his wife. "No," she shouted. "Don't come any closer." The samurai smiled nastily, his sword glinting in his hand. "You're very proud of your beauty, aren't you?" he asked. "You consider yourself the most beautiful woman in the world?" "Well, not anymore." He brought the sword down across Kuchisaki's face, slitting her mouth from ear to ear. She began to bleed and scream. "Now," said the samurai, "go out into the streets. See who you can seduce with that face. No one will ever think you're beautiful now." Kuchisaki ran to the mirror. She took in her new, bloody, disfigured face. "No," she cried. "I'm beautiful. I am." She fled from the samurai. But it wasn't long before she succumbed to the blood loss and died. The officer swallowed, looking at the two people in front of him. Both of their faces were etched in disbelief. "This is the same Kuchisaki that killed your son," he said. "She is avenging her death." "But why would she target children?" said the father. "That we don't know. She will ask them, 'Am I beautiful?' If they say no, she'll kill them. If they say yes, she'll cut your face, then kill you. If you're not sure, she'll follow you home and then kill you." "But what can we do?" asked the mother. The officer sadly shook his head. "Even the most experienced of paranormal experts haven't managed to trace her." "So we just do nothing?" "You can do something," he replied softly. "You can pray." It is said to this day that Kuchisaki Ono still terrorizes Japan. Sometimes she disappears for years on end, then reappears to claim another victim. No one knows why or can trace her pattern. So, next time you're asked the dreaded question, "Does my bum look big in this?" just be grateful it's not, "Am I beautiful?"
What if it's, does my bum look beautiful in this?
Your bum always looks beautiful, Vince, so you don't need to worry about that.
Okay, that's all right then. Just checking.
Yeah. Good story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not heard that before.
Do I get £10?
No.
Obviously, I mean, we all love folklore. There's a lot of echoes of La Llorona in there, isn't there?
Yes, there are.
The beautiful woman being, being very vain and taking lovers, or being, being killed by her husband or whatever. There's that kind of story.
So do we know what period that story comes from?
So that the story I found was actually present day. It was,
I can just say, because the police, it all sounds
so it was the stories I took that was from a present day style thing. It's sort of,
is
suggesting,
it real folklore or is it fiction though?
The story was the fiction, but the tale the officer tells is the folklore tale,
right.
If that
okay.
makes
okay.
sense.
Okay.
But I thought it was nice to kind of do it in that way of, as far as I know, that story's fiction. I mean, but there are, of course, people said to have seen this spirit or whatever, so it's a very interesting, tale. And I said that the film Smile reminded me of that. And I've heard this story about this particular folklore figure in other podcasts. I thought it was a good one to do because it's sort of got a nice connection to the film. So
very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty gory. But that's what we're here for, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah. Cool. Well, neither of you made me snide comments during, so that's good.
I don't speak.
No, I get in trouble.
you tend to butt in with snide comments sometime.
Yeah, I'm trying to not do that too much, but maybe I should.
Okay.
I was being good and quiet again.
You keep saying that, like you're in a Just William novel. Alice Elizabeth Bott was being good and quiet, but then she'll scream and scream and scream till she's sick. I can. I don't know if you all get that reference.
Nope.
Okay, don't worry. Well, that's it, really. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for having me.
Time for coming over. As always, you email us on the ghostgiguk@gmail.com. That is ghostgiguk@gmail.com. Send us your real-life spooky stories that you might have experienced. You can send us film recommendations. Or if there's a horror film you really hate and you want us to write a terrible song about, then, hit us up. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Just search Ghost Gig and you will find us. I think that's it. Does anyone have anything else to say?
No, I don't think so. I think you've done a thorough job.
Thanks. We always like to hear from people, don't we?
We do.
We absolutely do. So if you're a fan of the show and you enjoy it, say hi. We're very friendly.
Yeah.
We are friendly.
We sounded unsure there, but no, we're friendly.
No, we're definitely friendly. Even you, Mum, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm friendly. I don't bite.
Yeah, definitely not. Well, thank you so much for listening. And I would say this has been our Halloween special. So hope you enjoyed it. Hope you've had a great Halloween as well. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye.